Welcome back to our 101st episode of the Launcher Farm Show. Right, interview Mike Merlin, who's the director of sales at Follow Up Boss. He's also a past contributor at our Launcher Farm Elite workshop, where he brought a ton of value for our members. In this episode, Mike and I talk about why it's better to help people than it is to try and persuade them, and how you can apply that belief in your own farm to crush it. Mike also shares how to use technology not to replace you, but rather enhance what you are doing so that you can create top-notch service and effective communication for your clients and win more deals. And we talk about what agents need to do to stay relevant in a shifting market and why that matters now more than ever. Mike also shares a super easy way to leverage technology to create actionable processes and personalized moments to wow your clients and create a flood of referrals. And we talk about how agents can stand out and take more market share based on what they're doing today to build a solid farm over the next 10 years. Plus, we talk about a ton of other ideas that you can use to grow your geographic farm. So be sure to check out this episode, like and subscribe, and enjoy the episode with Mike. Welcome back to another episode of the Launcher Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Mike Merlin. He is the director of sales at Follow Up Boss. Mike's a great guy. We've had him on for a workshop we had for our Elite program. A lot of great information and a lot of stuff I want to dive in today. So, but before we do that, Mike, take a second, introduce yourself and tell us why you're here.
Sure. Well, first of all, Ryan, thanks for having me on. I'm a big fan of what you do with Launch Your Farm. And I've spent a number of years now in the real estate technology space, and farming to me has always seemed like one of the most enduring, most productive and highest return approaches that one could pursue in real estate. And I think it's really cool the sort of content that that you put together to help people along that journey, because often the hardest part is where to start, right? Yeah. And it's so cool that you provide the resources that people can lean on to start their farm, to nurture, to grow it. I have a pretty simple story. I got my first inside sales job at 14 years old. So I was selling things on the phone before I learned to drive. And to this day, I'm probably a little bit better at that than I am at driving.
That's good.
So, you know, I worked through a number of verticals over the course of, this 20-year career. And I found myself really kind of enchanted specifically with real estate technology. And, you know, the reason why I love working in the real estate sector of the technology space is really getting to interact with the agents, with the team owners. It is so much more fun to help a solo agent go from $0 in revenue to $20 million in revenue. It's so much more fun to help a team go from $50 million in revenue to $250 million in revenue than it is to help some VC-backed corporation increase their market share from 10 to 30%, right? Like you get to know the people, you get to understand not just, you know, the money aspect of it, but you get to understand and see and help facilitate the changes in these people's lives. And, that kind of affinity for really being invested in client success is what drew me to Follow Up Boss. You know, that's really kind of what Follow Up Boss is based around. They've pursued this methodology for the last 10 years that it's really pretty straightforward to explain. They figure if we can make something that really helps people, if we can support them as well as possible when they need additional assistance, that's going to feed the growth of our business more than a $500,000 marketing budget, right? Yeah. You know, it's better to help people than it is to persuade them. And it's been a fun ride that got me here, and it's even more fun now that I've arrived. So
awesome. Yeah. And unless you've been living under a rock, I'm sure you've heard of Follow Up Boss. For our listeners, I love what you guys are doing. I've only heard great things about you guys. And even my own interactions with you guys have been fantastic. And I know that you guys are passionate about creating an opportunity to, like you mentioned, help the agent, help their business, and help them reach more and create more relationships, which ultimately with farming, that's what the goal is at the end, is to build more relationships. When you have the right technology in place, when you're able to put the right systems in place, you can have those gains from zero sales to massive growth, or from an already existing business to really leveraging it to a much higher level. I want to go back then and start with, you mentioned the kind of the core fundamentals of what you guys do. If someone doesn't know who Follow Up Boss is, kind of give us the 30-second pitch of who you are and what you do then.
Sure. So, you know, we talked a little bit about this on our workshop session a couple of weeks ago, but if I had to distill what Follow Up Boss does down to one talking point, we provide a platform that empowers agents to spend zero time using executive function on what do I need to do today? What do I need to prioritize? Who do I need to get back with? And maintain all of that processing power and really into the human element of the real estate business. So creating, nurturing, growing relationships. And we do that through our CRM. Yeah. I think most of your viewers are probably plugged into what a CRM is, but with Follow Up Boss, it's your single source of truth. It connects to all of your lead sources. It facilitates all of your communication. It organizes all of your priorities throughout the day and puts the agent in a position where every day they wake up, they don't have to figure out what the most important thing to do next is. The system serves it up to them on a platter, and they focus entirely on the relational aspect of the business, not just moving deals through the pipeline, but really nurturing their clientele through both, you know, bulk and one-to-one communication.
Yep. That sums up greatly what you guys do. And I think it's important for agents to understand that if you're, no matter what level of business you're in, a foundation of this business should be a good CRM. And it's not one of those things like, oh, once I start getting more money, or once I start getting some more deals, or once I hit this level, I should implement a CRM system. I think, and it's not one of those things too, it's like, well, that's a strategy that person uses, or maybe it's not for me. A good CRM system, regardless if it's Follow Up Boss or not, should be a bedrock foundation of any agent's business. Because if you want to succeed at a high level, you need to have that. So I think starting with that as a foundation then helps you become more efficient. So if you are doing farming, when you have a good CRM system in place, it becomes easier, it becomes more effective. You get to do more deals, you're able to close more, you're able to create better opportunities. And I think a lot of, in my experience, a lot of agents think it's like something they should get to. And I always said like a CRM system should be there from day one. Now, you may not have the budget first, or you may not have the knowledge of what to do with it, but you should be building your business off of that. It is literally a foundation of any good business. So for you and your experience, because you guys, you serve like solo agents getting started to big teams and stuff. Where have you seen agents kind of falling off when it comes to getting started or using a CRM system in their business?
Well, you hit on two or three things there that we hear in our calls with agents all the time. That piece you mentioned about, you know, maybe that's how some people run their business, but that's really, you know, just not for me. And, you know, I think kind of the key thing to understand with that piece is a good CRM, its job is to facilitate you being you at scale. You know, it's not a CRM doing its job shouldn't be forcing you into any one box.
Yeah.
It should be the assembly line that really provides opportunities for you to deliver what's unique about you. You know, how much you care, how passionate you are, the value, the knowledge you have. It's not about, you know, micromanaging the nature of your day and some sort of methodology that just isn't natural for you. It's really more about creating an assembly line of moments for you to interact with another human being one-to-one. And, you know, the other thing you said there really, really resonated with me. Like, you know, my business, I have a lot of calls with people who are just getting started and they say, you know, my business just isn't at this point yet. I don't have enough relationships to where it makes sense for me to invest in the foundation of a CRM yet. And I've been in this business long enough where you have the same the follow-up conversation 2-3 years later, when someone's built up hundreds of contacts, you know, they've done the hard part, right? Yep. They've gone out in the world, they've set up their farm, they've shaken the hands, you know, they've kissed the babies,
yep.
And now they have an amount of people that probably would have been willing to do business with them if they had only stayed in touch over those first 2-3 years in the business. And a lot of times it becomes clear at that point, like, oh no, this isn't something I do once I get to a certain level of success.
Exactly.
What I do to leverage my hard work into that level of success. This is the piece that would have had me where, you know, I wanted to be had I invested in something that could have kept me in front of people in a meaningful, a helpful, a value-oriented and a, you know, a human-driven way.
100%. And there's nothing worse than going back and looking at the leads you had and realize you dropped the ball on these leads and going, man, if I only had better follow-up, if I only sent that message, if I only knew to call that person, or if I didn't let that person slip through the cracks, I could have gotten these deals. And let's be honest, with real estate, we make decent amount in commissions. One lost deal would pay for a good CRM system for years. So I find that a lot of agents are afraid of investing that money up front. Part of it, in my experience, I think is that agents don't believe in themselves that enough that like, if I use this, I may not get the results, and they're afraid of putting that money out front. But I think if they understood, if I use this system and if I follow a process, which you guys teach how to use that to get the most out of it, you will make money and you will make more money. There's no question. You'll make more money using your CRM system than not. And if you have two, all things are equal, one person has a CRM system and one doesn't, a well-used CRM system will hands down make you more money than someone who's not.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like the ROI component, you just laid out perfectly. And in fact, I had to stop saying that to people on the phone who are unconvinced about the need for a CRM because, oh yeah, I'm going to get one deal and it's going to pay for the whole thing. Sure. Right. But the reality is if you're looking at not having a CRM versus having one, you're talking about a return on investment that's in the hundreds or the thousands in terms of percentage on the ROI. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. I think, you know, the other part of it is the time element, right? So, you know, people who either don't have a CRM or they don't have one that's doing what we talked about, right? That's facilitating more moments for them to be them and, you know, for them to interact naturally with human beings. Like you're probably working through a day that is a lot more stressful, that's taking you a lot more time to get through a certain amount of work because it's not organized and queued up for you, right? You're using all of this time and energy to figure out like, what do I do next? And so, you know, when you talk to someone and say, hey, we need to invest a few hours up front to make sure that, you know, you get everything you should out of this, they think like, man, my day is so crazy already. When am I ever going to find the time to step back and set up the pieces that are going to solve for that? So that's another thing. Like, you know, I'm just too busy right now to set up a CRM. In fact, the truth there is you feel that busy right now because you don't have a CRM that's helping keeping you organized. Right. And it's super fun when you help people transition to that next evolution in their business. And it's not, you know, just about making more money at this point, but it's about getting more time back. You know, one of our biggest advocates, Barry Jenkins, just runs a massively productive team down here in the US. And if you Google him, one of the first things you're going to find is him talking about his 25-hour work week. And, you know, the motivation for him in terms of setting up systems, yeah, sure, he wanted to make more money. He wanted to grow his business. But he tells this story about how one day he was in a movie with his son and a call came in and he stepped outside the movie. He left his son there. He went to answer it, right? And he reflects on, you know, how he just didn't want to do that anymore. And that again comes back to the human element of technology. Like often we think of installing technology as depersonalizing our business, when in fact it's the opposite. It's setting up a framework that's going to allow us to interact more personally with our clients. Yeah. And it's about taking back the time we're losing so we can interact more personally with the people we love and care for.
Exactly. And I think what you said earlier too is important, that as you start to grow and people say, well, I don't have the time to do it now. And then they wait and then they're busier and busier and they don't have the time. It's very parallel to farming. the more work you put up front, the less work you're going to have to do in the long run, when you're willing to put the time in and grow it now. And if you're doing your job the way you're supposed to, a year from now, you should have more leads and more people to follow up with than you had now. And then 2 years from now, if you're doing it correctly, you should have more leads and more people to follow up with. So the longer you take to implement into your business, the more time and energy is going to take to get it set up. So I've always said, like, start now, even if you have one person, if you have five people, because it will buy back your time, like you said. It will also make it easier as you go forward to work through the kinks and find the mistakes that you need to figure out. And I'd rather do that with 10 people in my database than 10,000 people in my database and then realize you made a big mistake setting it up wrong. You set the wrong thing. Like, I've always said, like, the sooner you get a CRM system, the better. And again, I can share my own experience. When I got started, I was heavy into internet marketing and I was generating leads. And I literally had like an Excel sheet and I would just print them off and I would like scratch it out and I'd highlight things and I lost leads. I didn't know what I was doing. When I got my first CRM system, it was like, what the heck was I doing? And I look how much business I've lost. The time at that point, because now I had thousands of leads that I had to go back in, was so much more than if I just had it set up in the first place and spent some money up front to get it set up. It would have completely changed my business.
Exactly. So you did more work later to make probably less money than you would have had you put in less work earlier, right? Exactly. That also parallels with like saving for retirement, which I've not done a very good job for. I'm not yeah. on that. But you're right. It also parallels really well with farming. You know, I can think of so many stories where people invested in doing that work early and now they're doing less work later and generating more of a return than, you know, they otherwise would have. You know, one of my favorite quotes I've ever heard that made me feel really good about, you know, being in this business is the true measure of a company, of a business. You know, the most important piece of it is not how much money you make, you know, not how much market cap you achieve. It's the impact that your business makes on the community around it. Yeah. And that's your clients, right? But that's also everybody that your clients interact with. That's your employees. That's everybody that your employees interact with, their family, their friends. It's, you know, not to get too corny here. Maybe just let me get a little bit corny here. But the great thing about farming is it really kind of comes down to investing in that idea, right? I'm going to focus on an area. I'm going to serve the people within that area better than anyone else would. Exactly. I'm going to bring more value. I'm going to give them better guidance. I'm going to do it at a scale that nobody else can. And, you know, it's really kind of beautiful how when you invest in your community like that and you serve them as well as possible, you don't just help the person directly in front of you and you don't just get to enjoy the commission you make. You get to enjoy creating a tangibly better community through the ripples of positivity, right? If you treat someone well, they're more likely to treat the people around them well. And it's kind of a beautiful idea that I think dovetails really nicely with both the farming approach. It's definitely how Follow Up Boss really has kind of pursued growing their business. And, you know, with someone like yourself who can take these big picture ideas and concepts and then turn them into actionable insights, that's really where the magic happens, right? Because we can make a believer out of someone with these concepts we're talking about. The question is, okay, how do I turn that into action? And that's where someone like you really becomes such a valuable resource.
Which perfectly ties into where I want to take this next is, I think that a lot of people over the last couple of years have been doing certain actions and been willing to do certain things in the market. And now that we're seeing market shifting and things changing, agents are starting to realize the things they did or didn't do are not going to get them to the goals that they want. And if agents have only been in the business a couple of years, they have never seen a normal market, or most agents have not seen a normal market. And they're starting to realize they're going to have to do more things to get maybe the same return, or if they want higher return on what they're doing now, they're going to have to do more things and be more intentional with it. And I think this is why it's so important to have a CRM system. If you don't have a good CRM system, if you're not using something like Follow Boss to facilitate that transition, because there's going to be a lot of agents who are left behind. There's a lot of agents who are going to, their pipeline's going to dry up. The things they did that they didn't really have to do a lot of, and they just kind of had business fall on their plate, is going to start to, those opportunities are going to start to disappear. And without those right follow-up systems, without the right touch points, without the right opportunities and systems, they can quickly dry up. So I want to talk about how you see things shifting over the next 6 months, a year, and how agents can start to leverage technology to either maintain what they've got or in fact grow and take more market share if they want to.
Yeah, that's a really interesting topic to get into. And you know, one of the things I appreciate most about my job is I get to interact with agents and team leaders in all different parts of North America, right? And all different markets with their own unique idiosyncrasies, with their own hot seasons and slow seasons. And I get to hear a pretty wide range of perspectives. And, you know, there's something, you really got at something that's very true there a minute or so back, in that the last couple of years, if, you know, you've started as an agent in the last couple of years, you have gotten a very, very specific perspective on what this business is like that may not necessarily apply to every business cycle in real estate.
Yeah.
And agents have been working really hard. Like the pace of the pace of the market has demanded that, right? So it's not that agents right now, like if they've gotten started within the last couple of years, it's not like they haven't worked for the amount of like massive business that a lot of them are producing.
Yep.
But I think the change is going to be that there's, like you said, there's certain activities that we didn't have to engage in as much over the last couple of years. I mean, if you have 10 buyers in your back pocket, they're going to buy as soon as you can find them the right home. You know, that could take up your full day, right? The risky part about relying on short-term market trends is, to your point, it's something that changes. It's something that dries up. It waxes, it wanes. So the question is, what should we be doing consistently throughout, you know, our ownership of a real estate business, throughout our real estate career, to ensure that, you know, we're not completely beholden to short-term market trends?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one thing that is coming up for me a lot now, like the last couple of years, the conversation has been, man, we're doing so much business. We're keeping up with the pace of the market. We're having our best year ever. But I know we're not organized to prevent some things from falling through the cracks. And if we could only catch those things through falling, you know, they're falling through the cracks, we could do even more.
Yeah.
The conversation now is more about like, hey, we recognize things are shifting. We recognize that the vast majority of what we've been spending our time on is extremely short-term opportunities.
Yeah.
And we haven't had the time or the capacity or the inclination to do long-term nurture.
Yep.
And we now understand that it's not about how we do better than ever necessarily anymore. It's how do we continue to produce at the same rate? How do we continue to have the best year ever without this massive influx of interested buyers, right? You know, so it's, you know, now we're having a lot of conversations where like it's not a nice to have to close those gaps. It's a, we must solve for this.
Yeah.
Otherwise there's no reason for us to expect we're going to close the same amount of business, you know, in 2023. And I think back to a couple of folks I've been fortunate to work with over the last few years. Greg Harrelson is one name that immediately comes to mind. So Greg's a guy in the Carolinas, and he invested heavily in building a farm something like 10, 15 years ago. If you look him up, you're going to find hundreds of extremely neighborhood-specific landing pages that include a ton of value, right? Mm. Like, if you're in the Carolinas and you want to quickly understand the character of a neighborhood, the schools, what it's like to live there, what the entertainment options are, what sort of homes are available, you're probably going to find Greg's website, pretty quickly. And if you think about the fact that he's been doing this for 10 to 15 years, and he now has tens of thousands of people who go to him to track the market, who go to his website to learn about a neighborhood, who see him in their mailbox, on social media, in their email, who are getting calls from his team. Do you think a guy like Greg is really worried about a market downturn in 2023? No, because his business isn't beholden to those short-term trends. And, you know, the other name that kind of comes to mind is Renee Funk. She and her husband built a massive real estate business, heavily investing in client service and setting up systems that allow their agents to deliver that standard daily. So, you know, a business like that has built up this groundswell of goodwill that, good market or not, the people who work with Renee's team, the Funk Collective, they trust Renee. And that, you know, it's so awesome to see, like with farming, what's, you know, typically considered a long-term approach for that to reach critical mass. Not just because of how much revenue it produces, but the free nature of having a built, productive, and well-nurtured farm is that you can count on your business to continue to sustain you regardless of market conditions. And, you know, I think we're, as the market shifts, going to hear more and more people that are thinking about, well, how do I set that foundation so that no matter what happens outside of my control, people in my area are going to continue to come to me because of the value I've provided and the level of, you know, trust I've
built. And you just wrapped up exactly why I think farming is so important, because when you can see long-term and you think long-term, farming to me is the real answer to that. And this is, I in one of the courses I teach, I talk about hunting and gather, and then you have the gatherers and then you have farmers. And the hunters is great because you can go out there, you can get an instant kill. You've got this a big feast, and this is the market we've been in for the last couple of years. It's a very hunter-based market where you go out there, there's big game everywhere. And it's like, oh, I can get something. And then that moves on, the market shifts, things change. And it's like those opportunities are not there like they were. There still are, but maybe not as much, or everyone's pouncing on that same thing. Then you have the people who are the gatherers, which are the people who are referral-based, who are kind of working their sphere. And it's great because you get business, but you're still at the mercy of what the market will dig up. And I'm not going to say the name of an agent, but there's an agent who I know did $350,000, $360,000 one year and then did $60,000 the next year because they were only getting what the market served up because they weren't being proactive. Versus farming is that long-term approach where when you learn to do it, you learn to set the systems, you can produce year after year after year consistently. And then one of the things I teach is you shift into what I call the orchard model, which is, if you think about fruit trees take 7-8 years to produce fruit. But once they are producing, they produce fruit year after year with very little work, with very little time, very little effort, and you can have massive bounties. And when you learn to set up systems, that great follow-up systems, great touch points, great reasons to stay in touch with people, you can then reap that harvest. Now, you still have to eat in the meantime. So that's why you have to do a little bit of hunting. You have to do a little bit of gathering while you do that. And I think we're going to see, hopefully, more agents shifting in 2023 going, okay, the hunting worked. However, I can't ride this roller coaster up and down. I need to create more sustainability. And I think that's where you're going to start to see people shifting going, okay, what is this farming thing about? Why have I not done it? And I need to start.
You're so right. Like, it will always be a valuable skill to be able to go out into the forest, so to speak, with your crossbow and bring a deal down. But imagine how much better you can be at the hunting aspect if you know that no matter what happens when you're out in the forest, when you come back home, you have an orchard of money trees and you can just pick a dollar bill off them anytime you want. It removes pressure from the hunt, right?
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of reading out there available on, you know, how pressure can be a good motivator, but extremely high levels of pressure and scarcity actually cause a level of stress that drives us to perform worse. Mm. So if nothing else, you know, investing in a farm is investing in one's long-term peace of mind, which in fact is investing in your performance, even, you know, extending out to non-farming oriented models.
Yeah. And it's understanding that upfront, it takes that time and work to do it. But once you crack the code or you figure it out, it will take that pressure off. You might have that, oh crap, this is a lot of work or a lot of time or a lot of money up front to get this going. But on the other side of it, the payoff, and again, I've seen it over and over and over, and the payoff far outweighs that stress and that pressure up front, but you got to work through that. And that's where most people give up in that, hey, this is a lot of time, a lot of money. They don't break through that barrier. When you get to the other side, it becomes so much easier. And I've seen it so many times where it's like, once they get on that other side, it's like, man, what the heck was that? Like, I'll never do the business the way I did it again, because it makes so much more sense to do what I'm doing. But you have to have the faith and the persistence to get through that.
100%. And that can be a tall ask, especially for someone whose entire perspective has been shaped by the season we've had over the last couple of years, right? Yeah. Like, what do you mean I need to plant a tree that's going to take several years to mature? But I think that the 2023 market is probably going to answer that question for a lot of people. Yeah. So
obviously, like you mentioned, you see a lot of different businesses, you see a lot of different areas, you see different production levels. How do you see agents going forward leveraging a system like yours in their business to get more out of it than maybe say they weren't doing? Like, what are you guys pushing for your agents to be doing more of or implementing more to get the results they're going to need to get?
Sure. So there's really, you know, kind of three legs to that stool. So one, on new lead generation, there's been such an abundance of leads. Conversion hasn't been as important, right? Because I know
right.
if I convert this one, I can just go out and grab 100 more, right? That's changing. So lead costs are going up, meaning the same spend this year versus last year, the same amount of dollars spent is providing you less opportunities.
Yeah.
So the first leg of that stool, we're really zeroing in on helping people make sure their conversion is 100% dialed to the T. We're really doing whatever we can to make sure that if someone is paying for or buying leads, that there is a process in place to ensure that as long as the agent's showing up every day, they are going to not lose a deal simply because it fell through the cracks or someone else beat them to the punch.
Yep.
The second piece that is, you know, maybe even a bigger component right now is after the last couple of years, I mean, we talked about it on this call, there's a lot of databases out there that have just been undernurtured, right? Yep. Like maybe we threw our 100,000, 10,000, 15,000 people on sort of a drip campaign where they got like a newsletter from us once a month. And I'm not saying those aren't good things to do. Those are core fundamental things to do. But that's all we've done, right? Yeah. So, you know, the second leg of the stool is how do we take this massive list of people we've built, many of which we've helped with the transaction in the past, many of which will, within the next couple of years, have another transaction they need help with. How do we engage them in a meaningful way? And it's not just sending out a newsletter. It's not just having someone on a drip. It's not just reaching out to them on a regular basis. It's doing all of those things as a part of a cohesive strategy. It's fitting all of those pieces together and it's leading with value, right?
Yep, 100%.
The non-leading with value angle is like, hey, it's been 3 years since we talked. Are you ready to move yet? Okay. Not yet. Sorry to have bothered you. Call me when you're ready for your next deal, right? The value-oriented way to approach re-engaging your database is like, hey, it's been a while since we talked. I remember the last time we got together, Timmy was going off to Stanford. Your daughter was still living at home, but I think I saw something on Facebook. I think she just got married. And I've talked to a lot of people in that situation recently, and I wanted to get in touch with you, kind of find out how things are going, what's new. And if you're tracking those details, right? There's very few people among us who could have a conversation with someone 5 years ago and remember Timmy's Rutherford and Susie getting married. But if you're tracking those details, that, hey, it's been a year since I've talked to you call is so much less awkward. If you don't have those details, all you have is business to talk about, right? Like, hey, I'm still selling homes. Do you want to sell your home? And I think we're one, the kind of second leg of the stool here is like, how do we put an architecture in place that drives constant communication with people, that delivers value they actually care about, and saves enough personal details so the next time you're in a one-to-one conversation, you can lead with a human element, show a level of interest and commitment to who your client is as a person.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what becomes challenging about that is doing it at scale. And that's where systems come in, right? 100%. Now, the third leg of the stool, again, the perspective of the last couple of years has been like, hey, we just need to answer the phone really fast and we need to get the offer in before anyone else does. Yeah. And that has to be the biggest priority. But as we shift into a gear where we're going back to the typical conversion cycle, which is anywhere between 80 to 120 days with a lot of leads, you know, we're looking at a much more consistent effort that needs to be applied over a longer duration.
Yeah.
And as human beings, we have a pretty short attention span, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now. So, you know, whether it's a solo agent that's keeping themselves accountable or a team leader that needs to keep a group of individuals accountable, that's kind of the third leg of the stool is how do we really dial in on what are the most important things for you to stay aware of in terms of your daily activities and how you're running your business? And how do we maintain that level of visibility so that, I mean, agents are busy, right? They don't have time to deep dive into their database and put 20 hours into pulling out all these obscure data points. And, you know, most of us are not data scientists, right? If we look at a list of 500 activities, it's going to be pretty tough to figure out, like, did we do a good job this year? I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. So we're really using the reports within Follow Up Boss and the goal tracking mechanisms within Follow Up Boss to help people keep their eye on the ball in terms of ensuring that what they're committing themselves to do, they're actually executing on. And if we can just spend a little bit more time with them up front than everybody else does, and ensuring that we don't just give them a system, but we facilitate them using every leg of that stool, it's pretty difficult not to do more business year over year when you're doing those three things well.
Yeah, 100%.
You're delivering value and you're doing it at a greater scale with a greater consistency. It almost becomes a formula for growing your business. Yeah. And we're launching some content in 2023 really focused around that.
There's something I want to add on to that as well that I think that's important that agents need to realize too is who, metaphorically speaking, who they were chasing for the last couple of years is probably not who they're going to be chasing for the next couple of years. The demographics and the who that buyer and seller are. And what I've seen a lot of agents who are like, they're chasing these people, they're ready to buy. These were the guys who were willing to pay top dollar. They're into bidding wars. And then the interest rates went up, market shifted. Those people took themselves out of the market because they either can't or they don't want to. But then so then in their mind, it's all doom and gloom going, well, if these people are all gone, those are my hottest leads. They can't move now. Now, what am I going to do? The reality is there's a whole other market under there that probably could be moving or you don't even know because you've neglected them. And things like we have senior citizens who own their home, who have no mortgage. A mortgage rate doesn't affect them because they've got all cash when they sell their house. So they don't care. So we have to rethink who we're going after. And this is why having good follow-up and having good notes and making sure that we are creating a system that keeps us accountable to follow up, we may have to shift gears and shift what we're offering. Like you said, shift the value that we're providing. And I've seen this in my girlfriend's business too. She there's a bunch of leads on the board that we just took off the board because they're not moving. But we've also just replaced them with 10 other leads because those people are now going, yeah, prices come down, or I'm retiring, or I've got some extra money that I didn't think about. So we have to be open to looking within the rest of the database, not just the 20% we were following the first time. There's other opportunities in there, but we need a good system to keep record of that. And if we aren't doing that, you lose track and you lose momentum and then you lose steam. So you have to be on it and be willing to adapt and change, I think.
100%. And you know, I'm really optimistic about everything we're talking about here, because you know what we're talking about is an inflection point that forces growth.
Yes.
Right. And it's going to be exciting to see that growth journey for a lot of folks. And I'm very grateful to get to be a part of it to a limited degree.
And I think hopefully the viewers listening to this are not putting their hands over their eyes and running, because this is the kind of market that will set you up for success long-term. This is the market where agents are willing to put the time and the systems and the energy into it will reap the rewards long-term. Again, it's going to be uncomfortable at times. You're going to have to reshift. You have to refocus on what you were doing. It may not be the same things. You may have to learn some new skills. You may have to put time, energy, and things you weren't doing before. But I know a lot of agents who are top agents who are looking forward to this kind of market, because it creates more opportunities. It creates more challenges for other people that sometimes agents just leave the business. But the ones who are providing the value, the ones who are creating long-term follow, the ones who are building relationships, they're not worried. They're not worried at all that their business is going to flounder, because they know they've got a solid foundation in place. And the market could be the worst market it's ever been or the best market it's ever been. They're going to perform because they know they've got good follow-up, they've got value, and they've got relationships.
You know, it's so true what you just said there. You know, I don't think the market we're in, I am not a real estate oracle. I have no crystal ball. my general observation right now is the market is shifting, but it doesn't feel at all like 2008.
Exactly. Right. 100%.
So I don't think we're talking about a one-to-one parallel, and I don't think anyone needs to, you know, to Chicken Little, the sky is falling, because I'm not seeing that happen.
Same here.
But I think what we're going to see compare really closely, where we're going to see a lot of symmetry, is if I think about a lot of the big real estate influencers that are out there, right? Like, we've seen this model. You start a business, you grow it, it's massively successful, it's running on autopilot. What else do I do? Well, I'm going to go out and become an influencer. I'm going to become a coach. I'm going to teach people how to do what I did. Mm-hmm. If you look at a lot of these people that follow that journey from solo agent to building a team, to building a brokerage, to now being a real estate icon, I don't have the data on this. I haven't performed an analysis, but I think if you looked at a lot of them, so many of them got their start and, you know, really kind of initiated this rise to prominence around that 2008, 2009 market shift. Because
I started in 2008. That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So while, you know, I think there's some work involved in what we're all going to deal with this year, there's a shifting of gears. We're also at a moment that enables a changing of the guard, or at least adding more to the existing guard, right? So it's going to be interesting to see who takes that opportunity and runs with it, and who we're talking about on this podcast 10 years from now, right?
And that's why I'm excited. Like, there are so much opportunity. Again, I same thing. I don't believe it's doom and gloom. It's going to be this horrible. I mean, there are shifts. We're going to have to sharpen our skills. We're going to have to focus on what's working. But any business or any good agent would be doing that anyways. So we need to be watching of where are we spending our money? Where are we spending our time? What works? What doesn't work? We need to go back to those core fundamentals, which is the basics of building relationships and adding value. And the days of just throwing a bunch of money out there and just returning a bunch of money without having to do any work are fleeting. And they have been fleeting for a few years. You're going to have to do the right things. And you're going to have to maintain the value and maintain the relationships. If you're not willing to do that, find another job, find another business, find something else, because that's what this business is. And I think we talked about it before, is that this business in the past, pre-internet, was all about the relationships. It was all about the connections you had before they had the internet, before they had easy hit a button and get a bunch of leads. You had to build the relationship. You had to connect with people. You had to stay in touch with people. You had to get people to remember you. Then we've seen a shift where over the internet years, the last 20 years, it was like, I can hide behind my computer. I just pay some ads and get some leads. And we're now seeing that shift, I think, and I hope, back to those original days of like, no, it comes down to those relationships. It comes down to people remember you for the value you added, for the conversations you created, and not just, hey, I have a bunch of billboards or have a bunch of ads online. We're going to see hopefully a renaissance of that interpersonal relationship happening, and where people are remembering the value you added and the connections you had, and not just I threw more money than anyone else at it, and then I got more from it.
I think that's a really important insight for everybody to focus on, right? So going back to that timeline you outlined, before the internet, before internet leads, before, you know, Zillow or Realtor.com or these massive search portals, you know, the real estate agent was really kind of the gatekeeper to people seeing homes, right? Yep. So it was entirely about how many relationships can I create? What is the quality of the relationships that I'm able to maintain? And the entire business is based on that, translating that into, well, they trust me, they like me, they know how to get a hold of me. So if they need to get through the gate to see some homes, it's going to be me they call. And then, you know, Zillow kind of changes the game by allowing everybody to self-serve. And, you know, we see this massive rush to try to compete in that regard. Well, yeah. If everyone's just going to use technology instead of Joe Bob, the realtor that they like and trust, now I've got to have the best technology. And my entire success is around having the right website and having the right tech tools. And I don't necessarily need to, you know, shake as many hands or kiss as many babies, because exactly. Sit back and, like you said, hide behind my computer and collect deals. Now, though, the shift is, everybody is doing that. Exactly. So true. Yes. If you don't have the right technology, it is going to be very difficult for you to compete.
Yeah.
But the highest producing efforts are going to be the folks that they master both sides of that coin, right?
Exactly.
They have the right technology. They've invested in the right systems, but they're also heavily invested in the interpersonal relational aspect. And yeah. I think that's actually a really good thing for agents. You know, 100%. I think that I'm actually pretty happy we're moving to a place where the success of an agent isn't just a technological arms race for who can buy the biggest, most powerful, most robust system with the highest price tag. And it's gonna, I think now that technology is available to pretty much anyone at any level of operating a real estate business, I think we're now back to the place where the impact you make in your community, the impact in the people that you work with and you help, that's going to be the tiebreaker for a lot of folks.
Exactly. And I hope I have some part of that, because that's what my mission is, to get people to see that's really what this is all about. It's like, yep, you need good technology. Yep, you need all the things. However, the difference between you succeeding at a high level is the impact you make in the community. And that's why farming is so effective, because you can create a visible impact. You can create much stronger relationships when you are focused on the area that you're serving and bring value to them, not just to the transaction, bring value to the community you serve, which is all what my CPR model is all about, is really creating those relationships. And Zillow can't compete. Joe Blow can't compete. A guy with more billboards can't compete when you have the relationships. When you're out kissing babies and shaking hands, you will build the relationships, but it takes time. And we are seeing a shift, like I said, is agents realize, okay, I need the technology, but now what's the next step? What's the next evolution? And we're seeing that resurgence of those relationships coming back up. And I think if agents are willing to do that, they will have no problems. If you're not willing to do that, you're at the mercy of what the market will serve up. So I want to wrap up with a best piece of advice. So what's one last piece of advice that you'd give to our agents who are either getting started or really want to take their business to the next level?
So this is something I'm sure someone on your show has said before. It's pretty basic, but consistency is key.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that one step farther. So if consistency is key, what else do we need to understand? What discourages consistency? For me, the enemy of consistency is ambiguity. And what I mean by that is, if you don't understand what your goal is, if you don't understand what the action steps are to reaching that goal are, if you don't have a routine set up that are going to facilitate the completion of those action steps, there you now have several points where, you know, you could have had a really exciting plan, but it all falls apart a couple of weeks into trying to actualize it. So what what I tell a lot of folks around this time of year, it's not necessarily the case with every market, but for a lot of our markets, things tend to slow down a bit in the winter over the holidays.
Yep.
And what I tell a lot of agents, whether they're just getting started or they're at this inflection point where it's like, hey, I plateau here or I change something to get up to the next level, I tell them to follow the 100-100 rule. And what that really kind of comes down to is also pretty basic. Put 100% of your time over the next few weeks into understanding your goal, understanding the action steps you need to follow, yeah, understanding the system and routine that you're going to need to make that happen on a day in and day out basis. Spend 100% of your time on that for a week, 2 weeks, you know, a few days, but invest heavily in that before the new year turns over.
Yeah.
So that next year you can put 100% of your effort specifically into the energy you're going to need to help people, to deliver value, to have conversations, to remember personal details, to follow up in a way that isn't just, you know, a handout looking for your next commission, instead a meaningful human interaction. You know, if you can achieve perfect clarity on what you want to do, what you need to do to achieve it, and what you're going to need help with to make that happen consistently, if you can just check that off your list before the end of the year,
yeah,
you're going to have a much more productive 2023.
That's great advice. And that's actually the number one advice I get on the show consistently is consistency. And it blows my mind because I have people who are mega producers on the show. I've had people who are just getting started, and the ones who say the consistency beats everything. It beats technology. It beats anything you can think of. It's just being consistent, showing up and being consistent is the number one piece of advice I can get. So that's awesome. And I think it's a great elaboration on that and really helping people reframe that, especially because we're in that time of year, which is when people are starting to rethink, what am I doing? How am I doing this? And really reframing it. So we always wrap up with the best book. So what's one book you'd recommend that's had an impact in your life or you think would have an impact on our viewers?
So don't tell our founders that I'm using this book, because we based our entire company around the giving some of the secret sauce away. But it is a book by a guy named Guy. His name's Guy Kawasaki. And the book is called Enchantment. Mm-hmm. And it is really a exceptionally beautiful piece of work from a conceptual standpoint, but it's also very filled with insights that are absolutely actionable. And if, you know, you haven't read the book yet, you're trying to figure out whether or not it's for you. Really, the entire thing kind of comes back to this idea of enchantment, not as manipulation, but as authenticism, as really leading from a likable, a trustworthy place, and using the credibility that builds to understand the goals of the person across the table, what drives them, what would not just, you know, make them happy, but make them content with the trajectory of their life.
Yeah.
And if that can be done at scale, it can really kind of transform hostility into civility. It can transform civility into affinity. And if that concept is at the core of everything you do in any sort of business, it is going to yield benefits over time. And if you look at the reviews for this book, it's like Richard Branson and Steve Wozniak, the guy who helped build Apple, saying stuff like, hey, if you want to build a company that, you know, there's a level of brand loyalty to, like you're seeing, with companies like Apple, read this book.
Wow.
Those guys are much smarter than I. so I tend to trust their guidance. And also I look at the success of Follow Up Boss over the last 10 years. And I think that proves out the concept in that book as well. So again, that's Guy Kawasaki, and the book is called Enchantment.
Awesome. I've read a couple of his other books. I haven't read that one, so I will definitely have to put that on my reading list, because I definitely have liked his other stuff and I've heard good things about it. So I will absolutely check that out. So how can our viewers check out what you guys are up to and find out more about Follow Up Boss and what they can do in their business?
Oh, super simple. I'd start by going to www.followupboss.com. There's a lot of great information there. I'd also run a Google search for Follow-Up Boss, because like they're probably more valuable even than checking out a product deck or looking at, you know, the marketing content we have on the site, would be listening to some of the stories from, you know, other real estate professionals that use our system. You know, there's everything there. There's perspectives from solo agents. There's perspectives from mega brokerages. There's perspectives from really our sweet spot, which is the teams in between those two ends of the extreme. And, you know, there's a spot on the site actually where you can just sign up for a free trial and test it out. And also everybody here, feel free to reach out to me directly. My email address is really simple. It's mike.merlin@followupboss.com. And I am happy to provide whatever advice, guidance, consultation, and insight that I can in service of, you know, the people who follow your channel.
Awesome. And I know you mean that, and you've been awesome to deal with. Just doing this and the workshop and connecting with you has been fantastic. And you are truly passionate about what you do, and you really care about the consumer, which is the agent, getting the results they want and making sure that they have a good experience. So I will put that in the show notes so people can check that out. Check out you guys. I know I've heard amazing things about you. I personally haven't used them, but I know if I was in production right now, I probably would be using, because I know it's an amazing product from what I've experience and what I've heard. So thank you, Mike, for being on the show and sharing your insights and wisdom. And I know that if agents do put some of these things we talk about into their business in 2023, they're going to be getting success, but they have to be willing to do that. And like you said, be consistent with it and stick with it, because if you're willing to do that, no matter what the market is, you will see the results. So thank you for sharing your information with our audience. I know they're going to get a lot out of it.
Absolutely. It was a joy to be here. I love working with you. I love what you're doing. So thank you so much for the opportunity to come hang out with you a little bit.
Awesome. Thanks.
Alrighty. See ya.
Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.